That's the sixth time I've listened to that. And I'm not bored yet. All right. Look at your study questions. Oh, by the way, did you get the couple of things I wanted to explain? When he uses that term communicable and incommunicable, to us that means like passing on to someone, but it really comes from a Latin word which means in common. So if you understand that, you'll understand what he means by communicable. We have some things in common with God, and some things we don't have in common with God. And there were three important parts, just to be sure you got them. All God's attributes are possessed by all three members of the Trinity. Differences lie in their roles. The second one, each of these attributes is eternally permanent in God. And the third one, each attribute characterizes every other attribute. Did you have any questions before we go on? Okay, you understood everything he said perfectly. Let's look at our study questions, and like I say, if you haven't done them, don't worry, we will do them here. What do you think happens when people have a wrong or inadequate view of God? Look in your Bibles at Isaiah 40. Did anybody do the questions ahead of time? A couple of you, good. Most of you didn't have your books and you couldn't, so that's no problem. But we'll discuss them in here. Isaiah 40. Right.
And it falls on us because we did not train them up properly.
Okay. The same thing we see in society, we see in our church. Our people are falling away from the truth, and it's because they have not been taught. And it's our fault. But we're doing our best to remedy that. Okay, so what happens when people have a wrong or inadequate view of God? I'm going to read Isaiah 40, 18 to 20. To whom then would you liken God, or what likeness compare with him? An idol, a craftsman casket, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and casts for it silver chains. He who is too impoverished for an offering chooses wood that will not rot. He seeks out a skillful craftsman to set up an idol that will not move. So what's the first thing that happens when we have a wrong view of God?
We create idols.
Notice the rich people got gold and made their idols out of that. It interests me that they have to have several silver chains for the idol. What do the chains do? Hold it up or hold it down and keep it from falling off and keeping somebody from stealing it. That's a great God who has to be protected from...
Well, it also, I think the chains mean that it binds us.
Okay.
It binds us to that idol.
It binds the God to us, making us sure we can make him behave.
Right.
Okay. That's our trouble. When we form an idol of God, we're making our own God, one that we can control, and we're trusting in something that cannot help us, it cannot comfort us, and it cannot save us. But we don't make idols, at least physical idols. But here's another quote from A.W. Tozer. The essence of idolatry is the entertainment of thoughts about God that are unworthy of him. So boy, we build some idols, don't we, in our own minds. No religion, no person, no nation has ever risen above its idea of God. So whatever you think God is, you're going to be lower than that. And if you remember anything about Greek and Roman mythology, their gods were nasty gods. They were mean gods. They were immoral gods, just slightly better than men were. So unfortunately, many of us today have that idea that God is somebody like us, only just slightly better. Look on down at verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by God? I see a couple of things here that wrong views about God resulted in for Israel. Okay, so they just wanted to forget God. What do they mean when they say, my way is hidden from the Lord?
They think he doesn't see.
All right, they think he doesn't see what they're doing. What about that phrase, and my right is disregarded by my God? What are they saying there? Okay, yeah, that's a good thought. Are they putting themselves first and thinking God doesn't regard their rights? That's possibly part of it. Any other thought?
The justice that is due them, they think God doesn't see.
That's what I was looking for. They think God doesn't see what's happening to them, the justice that's due to them, and he doesn't help them. So they've made themselves a very weak God. Read on down to verses 21 through 26 and see. I'm not going to read that out loud, but you read verses 21 to 26 and see how Isaiah himself envisioned God. When you find something, speak up. God's bigger than anything on earth.
He created all things.
He created all things.
He controls earthly power, earthly rulers.
He controls earthly rulers. Isn't that comforting right now? Okay, again, he reminds them over and over and over in the Bible that he created things. That's where we lose our young people, when they go off to college and find out that evolution created the earth.
Right, and that has been drummed into them, and they watch TV and they see it on National Geographic millions of years. Here we go mm-hmm. again.
And that constantly... And it undermines their authority in the Word of God and in the power of God. I've been struck since I started studying creationism, and you all know that I love that. I've been struck by how many times he tells us over and over again in the Bible, I am the Creator.
It's all through his Word. All through
it.
We just have not taught his Word.
That's right. We just haven't taught it enough to our children. Have you found anything else? All right, incomparable. Nobody's equal to them.
I think verse 21 illustrates that there was a plan. He has a plan, and it was from the very beginning, and goes on and on.
All right, he has a plan. It has been there for eternity past, and it goes all the way into eternity future. What happens here on earth is never an accident. It is a part of God's plan. And he says, don't you listen. Well, no, we don't, do we?
It's almost like he's saying, I gave you ears to hear. Don't you hear it?
Can't you hear what I'm saying to you? Let me go back to this universe revealing God. How do you think an evolutionist gets it so wrong? He studies science. What happens? Can he see God?
Evidently not.
Well, it's because he doesn't want to, because Romans 1 says they have enough revelation that God's attributes or his invisible attributes are clearly seen. So it's not a matter of revelation not being given. It's a matter of not wanting to see what you've been shown. Okay, did you find anything else in there? Isaiah had a high and holy view of God, didn't he? Like Dr. Lawson was talking about. Okay, to turn in your Bible to Romans 1 then.
Before you go there, can I just say, I think it's so funny that it says about he sits above the circle of the earth, and yet we had flat letters for so many years.
Yes, she was talking about the Bible saying in Isaiah that he sits above the circle of the earth, and the word is sphere. And then we've had for so many years scientists telling us the earth was flat. And we still have flat earthers today. Okay, definitely people are screwed up in some ways.
Yes.
Romans 1:21. I want you to list some more consequences that result when people have a wrong or inadequate view of God. So go through there and find some more and yell them out.
Not grateful.
Deriving God of his glory and giving it to an idol.
The mind becomes darkened and confused.
Talking about that being true today.
Yes. And Satan is having a field day because this is all his work.
All right. Satan's having a field day, she says. It's been his plan too.
That's right.
It's nice to know God has a greater plan. And a stronger plan. Other things that happen.
They believe a lie. They became perverse in all ways.
Become perverse in all ways.
Yes. Sexually, we know that today.
All right.
Look at the LGBTQ, whatever it is.
Yeah. All those letters, yes. They become perverse in their personal sexual lives.
And you. Abuse the rainbow is what I said.
All right. Yes. Abusing the rainbow. Satan likes to take over God's things, doesn't he?
And they encourage others to do the same with them.
All right. They're not only encouraging others to do the same thing, they're demanding that we accept what they're doing.
And now in school, which is so scary, in the smaller grades, they're teaching you have a choice of your gender.
Yes. Very perverted thinking. Gender fluidity. Some more things you find.
Corrupt mind.
In fact,
he's going to give them over to their problems.
Yes, eventually judgment comes and God lets them believe what they want to believe. He gives them over to their corrupt mind and their depraved.
They are heartless and show no mercy. And do we see that today?
All right. Heartless and show no mercy. I've never seen so much hate.
I never have either. We need to be on our knees every day.
Every day praying for our country. Okay, do you find anything else?
God abandoned them to their shameful desires.
Okay, he abandoned them.
They know that their actions will result in death, but it doesn't deter. They go ahead and...
They know their actions are going to result in death, but it doesn't stop them. They go right on.
And I think that's...
We see that too. You can't claim that Romans is not relevant to today's society, is it?
The whole Bible is relevant.
All right. One of the things that happens, I think, that we lose the sense of God's majesty. He says in Psalm 50:21, you thought that I was just like you. Well, that's what we tend to think, that he's just like us, only a little bit better. I see that they have no need, or they think they have no need of God's salvation. They can save themselves. I'm good enough to please him.
They're haters of God.
Haters of God, good. They have no obligation to God to obey him. I liked what Dr. Lawson said. Our theology drives our doxology. Explain that to me. I'll tell you the meaning of the words. Theology means the study of God, and doxology means the praise of God. So how does your theology drive your doxology?
If your heart is not right with and agreeable with the word of God, then your doxology, your praise of him, is going to be empty.
Okay. If you don't have an adequate knowledge of God, then your praise of him is going to be inadequate. Trivialities in our theology leads to trivialities in our worship. Over and over again, the same few words. Some of the new music is wonderful. There are some songs that I just love, but some of it is pretty trivial, and it does not elevate our view of God.
I really don't like those that repeat.
Okay. I get kind of bored with it. The first two or three times, I'm into it. You know, I feel I'm praising God
right.
with that word.
And after that, it's like
number
7-11 times. Seven times the same verse.
Yeah.
You know.
So we need to deepen our theology in order to deepen our doxology. Okay, I think that an inadequate view of God will lead to spiritual immaturity, prideful living, prayerless living. Why pray to a God who's ineffective? The more I know God, the more I can trust him. That's the thing I have found throughout my life. So basically what Dr. Lawson has been saying is your knowledge of God goes, so goes your life. It's going to affect every part of your life. I'll repeat what he said. High views of God lead to high and holy living. High views of God lead to exalted, transcendent worship of God. Low views of God lead to low and base living. Question 3, Scripture tells us that God is incomprehensible. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord or become his confessor, counselor? So if he's incomprehensible, why should we even attempt to learn about him?
Because he desires for us to know him.
All right. All right, he's incomprehensible, and yet he invites us to try to comprehend him, to know him, and to grow in our knowledge of him.
Keeps us out of trouble.
The more we know about how he thinks, the more we know how to act. Okay.
Not that he won't, but you know he's after our thoughts. He's after our mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so the more we fill our mind with the Lord, we don't have room for Satan.
All right. The more we fill our mind with thoughts of God, the less room we have for Satan and his temptations.
But the routine that they had as much as possible.
Okay.
So that they have a better opportunity for what the Lord wants in their lives and
okay.
their minds to take hold.
All right.
I should do that.
That's good advice for a new believer. Just kind of cut yourself off from everything that's not godly so that you have an opportunity to grow. It would be like an alcoholic staying out of a bar. So that's good advice. Someone said, it was Job in the book of Job, acquaint now yourself with God and be at peace. Thereby good shall come to thee. So he just says, get to know God better and there'll be more peace for you. Did you think about that statement? What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about him, about you. Have you been able to begin to comprehend that statement? One thing we need to remember from 2 Corinthians, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. We move toward our mental image. Whatever we think about, we become more like. I've seen an illustration in the past. Perhaps someone has done you wrong, and you think about what that person did to you, and you think about it, and you dwell on it, and dwell on it, and unconsciously you are becoming more like that person because that's what you're thinking about. So if our minds are filled with thoughts of God, then we will become more glory. Yes, like Paul says, we'll be transformed from glory into glory. J.I. Packer says, what matters supremely, therefore, is not in the last analysis the fact that I know God, but the larger fact which underlies it, the fact that he knows me. I am graven on the palms of his hand. I am never out of his mind. All of my knowledge of him depends on his sustained initiative in knowing me. I know him because he first knew me. How have you thought about God before today? What mental image do you find in your mind when you think about him? We can't help but form a mental image in our mind. We think in pictures, don't we? When I think of God, I tell you what I see in my mind, and that's that picture by Michelangelo on the Sistine Chapel where God is reaching out to touch Adam. I see that hand, and I don't want to make an idol of that hand, but that's the mental picture I get. So what are some things that before today you have thought about God? When you tried to think about him, have you thought about attributes? Have you thought about pictures?
I think of him as a loving father.
A loving father? Good.
I think of him as the shepherd holding the baby sheep.
The shepherd carrying the sheep.
Right, and the sheep all around
him. With sheep all around him. Wonderful. Sovereignty.
Those two just equate.
Yes. God equals sovereignty. Mm-hmm. He is the ruler of the universe. All right. Let me end with Jeremiah 9:23-24. This is a new thought to me. Did you know that we were created to boast? I mean, we all are boastful, aren't we? But we were created with that need to boast. And listen to this. Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, for I delight in these things. We are made with an inclination to boast so that we can boast about God. Okay? Do we have some questions or other comments?
What was that scripture reference, please?
Jeremiah 9:23-24. Now, there's a sense in which whatever we create in our mind is not truly God, but still he allows us to do that. I want to balance this. I don't want to say you can't think of a picture of God like being a shepherd. Just be sure that it's not that's how you worship him. And I'm not making myself very clear, but I'll read this quote from Tozer. Whatever we visualize God to be, he is not, for we have constructed our image out of that which he has made, or what he has made is not God. So an image, you got to be careful about constructing a God, and yet he has given us images in Scripture that we can use. So it's a balance, and you know I found that throughout the Scripture. You've got to balance truths. All right, any other comments or questions? Yes, it definitely is.
All the sins that people don't want to call sin.
Everything that we don't want to call sin is right there in front of us being practiced and called peaceful protest.
I thought it was interesting that one of the prosperity gospel preachers was asked why he didn't ever use the word sin or
We have not been taught we are sinners.
No.
For many decades now, we have not taught the word sinner, particularly to people outside the church. I heard somebody on the television the other day talking about sin, and I thought, how strange. It was a politician who was saying something about sin, and I thought, my goodness, I've never heard that from a politician in years and years and years. Okay, well, let's close in prayer. I do appreciate you coming and your participation. It's been wonderful. I don't know if we got a count, but 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35 maybe, getting kind of close. So I do appreciate your attention. I do hope you enjoy the study, but more than that, I hope that God is glorified through the study. Let me end in prayer. Father, we do express our gratitude to you for what you've done for us, but mostly for what you are. I do pray that as we study, we will come to know you better, to know all of your attributes in depth, so that we can praise you and worship you more, and so that we can boast in the God who is our God. Take care of each one of us this week and bring us back safely next week. And I thank you for these ladies, and I pray that there'll be a blessing on their lives. In Christ's name, amen.